This week on the eBay for Business podcast.
We actually have a broad span on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram, but we're also on YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We do actually determine what type of marketing we're going to put on each of them. For the most part, Facebook and Instagram share the same amount of content. But we know that on LinkedIn, we would never put anything that's related to the actual product itself in the sense of a listing.
One of the things that I love about the eBay Partner Network is the money that I get for that cancels out a lot of my fees. So that's one of the things that I love about using it is that it's like, oh, it knocked out my fees this month, you know, and that's one of the things that we look at.
I'm Brian Burke.
And I'm Griff, and this is the eBay for Business podcast, your weekly source for the information and inspiration to help you start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. And today, you're listening to episode 114. And joining me now is our bi-weekly co-host, Brian. How are you?
Great. How are you doing, Griff?
I'm okay. It's been a busy week.
It has been.
What have you been up to?
Just a lot going on reporting and things like that and getting prepped for 2021. It's amazing that we're kind of at the end of 2020 and so starting to think about the next year.
Right. Like any good business, which eBay is, we have to plan for 2021. And that's what each of the teams, including our team, is doing for planning process. And Brian and I are both working on the podcast part of it. But you do so much more. You have other responsibilities.
I don't know.
Yes, you do.
I have a few other responsibilities only.
Yeah, all I do is the podcast.
And you know, it's interesting. If I think about planning, like a lot of our sellers have been kind of in the throes of that, getting ready for this time of year, the holiday selling season.
Exactly, as eBay has, but we plan our holiday campaigns and strategies pretty far in advance, and now they're starting to be implemented. Also in the news, I was looking at the seller announcement and I realized that we didn't talk about it when it was first announced on October 9th, but there's a update to the Certified Refurbished program.
There is. I think it was announced about the same time we announced the authentication, and so I think it maybe didn't get as much airtime.
No, in fact, it probably, the sneaker authentication, which has a wider interest, I think, among buyers and sellers in the news in general outside of eBay, probably preempted and the rest of the news for that week was overlooked. But there, it is interesting because there are a lot of sellers out there who will fit the profile for being called a certified refurbished program sellers. We'll put the link to the announcement board in case you've never visited it before, so you should. In fact, if you listen to this podcast, you know that at the end of every podcast, we give you your weekly to-do list, and one of them is go look at the announcements. Anyway, this is what it says on the announcement. We've updated our certified refurbished program to ensure that buyers are able to find and purchase like new refurbished inventory in select categories with confidence on eBay and reduce items not described returns for qualified sellers. So starting October 9th, 2020, items listed as certified refurbished will need to meet eBay's updated item condition requirements and also be approved by our certified refurbished team. If you think you might qualify, there are some stringent qualifications. You can find out more on the announcement.
Well, the nice thing is there's that link right in the announcement, so it's easy for sellers to determine if they qualified to be included.
If you believe you are, there's also going to be a link there where you can actually submit a request to be approved. Like I said, we'll put the link to the announcement board in our transcript as we do every week. That's the news for this week. Anyway, we have a show to do.
So what do we have going on this week?
This week, we're focusing on using social media as a seller marketing tool. We'll talk to eBay sellers Quo Vadis and Carlo Lawrence of QC Consigns about creating content for social media. And then we'll chat with eBay seller Jocelyn, known on YouTube and eBay as Crazy Lamp Lady. And she's going to tell us how she leverages the eBay Partner Network to both promote her business and reduce her selling fees.
It'll be great to hear her tips and tricks on how she uses it. And hopefully our other sellers can take advantage of that.
Absolutely.
And I hope we have some questions this week.
Yes, we do. We have a question or two to answer. So we'll get to those as well. But in the meantime, let's start the show. This week is our last in a series for eBay Holiday Marketing Month of October, and today we're exploring how two sellers utilize social media for marketing their businesses on eBay. in order that we might learn a few tricks of the trade from them. Returning to the podcast are eBay sellers Corvatus and Carlo Lawrence of QC Consigns. Welcome back to the podcast, Q and Carlo.
Hi, Griff. How are you?
Welcome back. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us back.
We enjoyed your last interview so much, we thought you'd be really our expert guests on this topic, because we're talking about social media and how sellers can utilize it to actually boost their business. Do you remember when you started using social media?
Yeah, it wasn't that too long ago for us. Actually, when we had the first brand, which was From Soup to Nuts Consignment, we started back in 2014. When we rebranded to QC Consigns, we kicked it up a notch and we went full force. And that was probably around 2015, 2016. So we've had some presence on social media for a little bit now.
And which channels do you prefer? When I say channels, I mean, was it YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest? Which channel did you start with?
We started out with Facebook, really heavily promoting on Facebook.
Yeah, that was the one we were most familiar with because we had personal accounts on there. And so we weren't so savvy yet to diversify our marketing strategy on social media. So we felt comfortable with Facebook at first. Now, today, I would have to say our most heaviest presence is sitting on Facebook and on Instagram.
How do you differentiate between the two when you're creating content? Is it very different from Facebook as opposed to Instagram?
Well, interesting enough, we actually have a broad span on social media. So we are on Facebook and Instagram, but we're also on YouTube, LinkedIn, and Twitter. We do actually determine what type of marketing we're going to put on each of them. For the most part, Facebook and Instagram share the same amount of content. But we know that on LinkedIn, we would never put anything that's related to the actual product itself in the sense of a listing. So we wouldn't promote a listing on LinkedIn. But what we would put on LinkedIn is the advertisements that's tied to product reviews. So things like our Wind Down Fridays or our big sample sales that we have, we will promote actual events on LinkedIn, or whether our how-tos with Q, which is on YouTube. We try to diversify marketing wherever you're following us at, you're looking at product, but then you're also identifying us as subject matter experts in the resale market.
When you're on a channel like LinkedIn, as opposed to a channel like Facebook or Instagram, are there different degrees of personalization? Now, for example, I know that there are some sellers or some businesses where you never really meet the seller behind the business. It's more about the business and business itself. But that's really not how eBay works for a lot of sellers. Do you put a lot of personalization? And by that, I mean, you know, your own story when it comes to how you get started, your own personality, your own face for both you and Carlo.
Well, that's quite interesting you asked that question, because our presence on LinkedIn is not under QC Consign. Our presence on LinkedIn is actually under my profile. So it's under the Corvatus Lawrence profile, because I thought that it would be best to really drive a more personal experience, since people already knew me on there heavily from being in corporate America for 30 years in the garment industry. So it already became a trusted relationship. When we do market, we market heavily about our product on eBay on there. And that has brought a lot of buyers from LinkedIn who either had a personal or business relationship with us prior to now buy from us.
Carries a bit of trust, a good trust factor.
That's an interesting point that I hadn't considered before. You actually found a way to leverage your contacts and your network prior to your eBay business on LinkedIn and to utilize that to help a business that has since grown.
Yeah, because now we have partners on LinkedIn who actually will start promoting for us. So right now we're in the midst of getting prepared for a huge leather sample sale. And what we did is we just went out to everybody in our address book and our phone and sent them personal text messages asking them to share our post about the sample sale that was going to be on eBay. And what we noticed, even on LinkedIn, people were reposting that post and saying, hey, if you miss New York sample sales and you're looking to shop discount but quality, check out Corvatus and Carlo's store on eBay. Like, it's amazing how if you just ask a few questions or send a video or something like that, people will start to use their own networks. And that's how it's being used on LinkedIn.
Earlier, you said you don't put listings up on LinkedIn. And I love that idea of focusing on not only how you can use a particular channel, but what you shouldn't do on certain channels. Are there certain things like on LinkedIn that you would never do to help promote your business?
Every day, we do a pick of the day. And its caption under that is the QC team's pick of the day, pick just for you. And we'll pick one item and we'll just kind of really pretty much promote that item from eBay. That never goes on LinkedIn because it's tied so direct to the actual product itself specifically. We really try to stay away from that because we still haven't seen LinkedIn grasp the idea of being a real marketplace. Whereas Facebook and Instagram have really kind of converted themselves into a marketplace where now you can host your own stores.
Do you cross-promote between social channels that you're on, for example, Facebook and Instagram on LinkedIn or vice versa?
All the time. So something we do, our Wind Down Fridays, which people have really come to know, which is where we review product every Friday that's from our present inventory, and this new series we're doing called How To with Q. Those are YouTube-based series, but we actually launched them on Facebook and Instagram as well as Twitter. We also put them on LinkedIn as well. So no matter what you gravitate to in social media, you will actually get to see the product and get to see those episodes. And we're very open about it. You know that you're going to be switched to a YouTube channel or switched to a Facebook channel.
A lot of sellers are really confounded about how do you use Twitter effectively to get engagement and a boost in sales. It can be a real turnoff if you're just using it to post, like we said before, listings. How do you utilize Twitter?
That's a great question. Q can answer that better because Twitter is not my great friend.
Oh, tell me why.
Twitter, I think, frightens people because they're really not sure what to do with it. It's become such a political forum. It's almost like a rant forum as well. I mean, there's a lot of information on there, too. It's where you can find a lot of news articles and things like that. I've tried to kind of change the trajectory of what you see as far as content from QC Consigns. So what we'll post on there would be things like, and I'll go back to marketing strategies like the sample sale. Well, we will put a blast out and say, there's this big sample sale happening. It's going to be live on Instagram and Facebook. Go over to your Instagram or Facebook page and check it out.
Our monthly drawing.
So right now, we are doing a I Survived the Summer gift card drawing. It's a $100 Visa gift card that we're giving away every month for 5 months. We've already done it for September and October. We're underway for November. And literally, we will put a huge blast out there about it. And one of the things we're doing is we're tying in the political piece. So we're saying, if you voted and you can show your voting sticker, you'll get an extra entry in November's drawing. You know, we're finding ways to be socially conscious while we're also promoting the brand and gaining brand recognition, as well as hopefully bringing on new buyer and consignment client acquisitions.
Utilizing the current events and news in a way that's not going to be offensive to a certain group, because right now, you know, the country's very divided, but at the same time, focusing it still on your business. We've been talking about organically utilizing channels because you don't have to really pay for anything you've done. But when you bring up, for example, gift card drive, you're putting in $100 in investment. That's kind of like investing in paid search in a way. Do you have other examples of where you actually pay for placement or for content on any of your channels and how that works for you?
On Facebook and Instagram, we do promote.
And when you say promote, you use utilizing their tools.
We're utilizing their tools to promote. So like our Wind Down Fridays, we will, depending on what type of Wind Down Fridays they are, and if we're really trying to grasp the attention of a specific group of individuals, we will promote that Wind Down Friday. So right now we're getting ready for a huge art gallery event, and we're going to be opening our art gallery to the public socially. So that would be something we would promote. One of the other things that we are doing as part of our strategy, and it's been a part of our marketing strategy for the past 2 years, we're just executing to it, is we just got finished filming our first commercial, and it's a social media commercial where we paid external partners to actually help us develop this commercial, and it's only for social media, so it will go on there. The other big thing is we're working on a 3D virtual fashion show. where avatars are going to be wearing our spring summer 21 collection clothing. So we're working on that now, and it's still all going to be tied around eBay because eBay is our largest and most prominent platform we sell on. It's going to all drive back to just eBay, but it's all for social media. You won't be able to find this anyplace else.
You obviously have to pay to create that content, but there's also a part of your promotional budget that's going to beyond just placing it up on Facebook or Instagram.
That's the other thing. It's right. About placing it, and it's about placing it where it's prominently placed and seen. There's going to be a lot of dollars behind it that we will pay into social media to kind of make sure that
it gets placed.
So, where normally you may be spending anywhere from $15 to $20 for a 3 or 4 day promo, or maybe $50 to $100 for a 5 to 10 day promo, we're talking a $600-$800 promo for probably 30 days. Like, it's going to be pretty large.
That's really exciting. I have links to your channels, by the way. We'll put the links in the transcript so that you out there, dear listener, can also check out Corvartis and Carlos' promotional efforts and their commercial and everything else that's coming up. Before we end, I want to make sure I capture your three biggest tips for sellers when it comes to utilizing social media. And they can be a repeat of what you just said, but this is a nice way of keeping everything summarized. What would be your top three tips? I'm a new seller and I want to utilize social media. Tell me what I should and shouldn't do.
I would say know your product first. Great example. We've had a couple snowboards in our inventory, and in the summertime, it's not the greatest time to push those out there. I mean, it can be sold, but you'll sell it for less. In wintertime, and everyone's trying to get outdoors, and, you know, here's a great deal, then that becomes a great stand.
I think the second one is knowing your customer and what they're looking for during this time of year, and explode it. If it's electronics, if it's toys, whatever you know has sold for you well, you've already got the customer base looking at you for that stuff. Find out what your customer is wanting and magnify it to the 10th degree if you possibly can. I think the other thing is diversifying your strategic marketing plans. Like, don't be one note. Like, don't follow what everyone else is doing on social media. Figure out what messages work best for you. I see a lot of content from resellers out there, and it's great content. But I know that it's not going to work for QC Consign, so we don't even go there. That would be like somebody going, let's do Wind Down Thursdays.
Right. You know what works for you. And
right. Exactly. And I think this is, you asked for three, but I think the big bonus one is learn from the years past of what to do and do it well and what not to do and don't do it again. When we spoke with you the last time, we tried doing free shipping during the holidays, like in our first or second year, and selling on eBay. And it was a disaster for us. We sold a lot, but we didn't make any money for the most part, because by the time we paid out our consignment clients, paid off all of our debt from all of the promos and everything, we walked away with $1,000. We were doing great. We know we cannot compete with the big dogs with free shipping.
Yeah, that's a razor edge when it comes to margin for some sellers.
Yeah, I think we just have the buyer pay for the shipping and really take some of the money off of the product at the end of the day and just go that route.
And you know this works because you track what you do.
That's right. Yes.
That way everybody's happy.
Exactly.
Especially Carla.
I don't mind you being happy, but I'd like to be happy also.
Well, a happy relationship makes a happy business, doesn't it?
Right.
I want to thank you so much for agreeing to come back on the show. We love having you on. And after the holidays are over, I'd love to talk to you again to find out how the season worked for you.
That would be great.
That would be great. We look forward to doing that.
Great success for you in the coming months. And we'll check in with you in January.
Thank you. You have a wonderful holiday, Grant.
Yes.
You too as well. Sellers Corvartis and Carlo Lawrence have a business called QC Consigns. I'll put a link to their interview that we did earlier this year about the nature of their business, which if you haven't heard, I think you'll find quite fascinating. We've been talking about social media and how you can use it for your business or things you could consider. Up next, we'll talk to another seller about how she utilizes social media, but specifically with an emphasis on the eBay Partner Network. You just heard Corvartis and Carlo's strategy for using social media. But strategies for social media can differ greatly from seller to seller. no two sellers ever seem to have the same exact approach when it comes to marketing on social media. Our next seller, Jocelyn, sells under the user ID Crazy Lamp Lady, and we're going to find out why that user ID is, because that's really a great user ID. Welcome, Jocelyn.
Oh, thank you so much.
I want to start off by asking you when you started to utilize social media as a marketing tool to build your brand.
I started using social media, I've got to say, a few years ago with another brand that I had. And that kind of carried into what I do with Crazy Lamp Lady and what I do with eBay. And that is using YouTube and using Instagram and social media marketing to sell through eBay.
YouTube, is that your channel of choice?
Yes, YouTube is my channel of choice. And my channel on YouTube is Crazy Lamp Lady.
So it's easy to find.
It is, yes.
Okay, I have to ask, why Crazy Lamp Lady?
Oh boy. Well, when I was first getting started with that channel on YouTube, I was doing a lot of buying and selling lamps. And since I started with lamps, the shipping prices have gone up. And so now I kind of steer clear of them. But one of my friends was like, you know, you should just call yourself the Crazy Lamp Lady, you know, like Crazy Cat Lady, only lamps. And I'm like, you know, that's kind of got a ring to it. I like that. So it stuck.
I have to tell you that when I first heard your user ID, Jocelyn, that was the first thing that came into my mind was the Simpson cat lady. Only I pictured you hung all around with different types of lamps.
You know, I'm thinking about merch along those lines. It might have to happen.
But you still will look for lamps, I'm assuming.
I do. I do still look for lamps, but there has to be a certain quality about the lamps. I can't just buy a lamp that's $50. You know, it has to be a quality piece.
Do you focus in on certain styles or ages of lamps?
I do. I have a tendency to gravitate towards mid-century modern these days. That's kind of my thing these days.
But those tend to be the big, huge lamps that weigh a lot
they
and are
do,
kind of delicate.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. But they sell well. And that's, you know, that's when I can justify the shipping costs, is when I know they're going to sell.
Now, you say you've branched out. What else do you sell besides those, if there's another focus?
Well, I sell glassware, I sell pottery, I sell porcelain, I sell all sorts of antiques and vintage items. That's what I specialize in.
Well, you sound like you represent a huge demographic of eBay sellers. I'm sure you know that.
Yes, I do.
So they'll find your approach to social media, I think, pretty interesting. You utilize YouTube. How often do you use it?
Well, I post daily videos on YouTube.
Daily?
Daily videos, yes. What I do is I go out sourcing and I film my sourcing. I take my camera with me to thrift stores, flea markets, antique shops, and I take my viewers with me on this adventure of let's go shopping or let's go here and let's try to find some good deals. Not only are the videos for people who not necessarily can't get out and do the shopping on their own, but it's also for other resellers to see, oh, hey, she got that for $7 and she's going to sell it on eBay for $50, you know, so there's a combination there, kind of encompasses both.
Are the folks that work at thrift stores or other sourcing places, are they curious about why you're filming yourself and talking to your phone?
Yes and no. I usually get permission to film in most of the places that I go. So I usually preface it by, my name is Jocelyn. I have a YouTube channel. This is what I do. Is it okay if I film here? So they have an idea. But the looks that I get from other customers and the questions, you know, that's different.
Right.
It's Can not I like ask a, what you're doing? I get that a lot. What are you doing with the camera?
Well, do you tell them and do they find
I do.
This interesting?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I'm very careful when I'm filming not to film people's faces. I try to be very respectful of people's privacy. And that's one of the conditions. You know, I have permission to film at my local Goodwills. And one of the conditions is, you know, I don't film the employees. I don't film the customers unless I have their permission to film them.
Right, exactly. And you probably get people who are more than happy to give their permission.
Oh, yes, I do.
Everyone wants to be a star for 15 minutes, right? You talked about your YouTube channel, and I should remind people that we'll put links to all of the social media channels for all of our sellers in our transcript for episode 114 so you can find it. One of the things that I found interesting about your channel list is that you also utilize the eBay Partner Network, and we've talked about this on the show. I'll put a link to that episode in the transcript. But tell us how you use the eBay Partner Network.
I have the eBay Partner Network links in the description of my videos. And in all of my videos, I say, you know, if you've seen something in this video that you'd like to purchase, there's a link to my eBay store down in the description. So that encourages people to go down and click the eBay link, and that directs them over to eBay. So that's one of the ways that I use those links. But I also use them on Facebook. One of the important things that I know is that you need to have a disclaimer for using those links. So that's always been important to me because I believe the Federal Trade Commission says you need a disclaimer that says you're using affiliate links.
How do you indicate that? Where is that text?
On my video descriptions, when I say go down and check out my video, at the very bottom of the video description, there's a disclaimer that says some of these links are affiliate links. I receive a small commission, you know, if you purchase anything through these links, and it goes to supporting my channel. I do include that. But like, for instance, Instagram, I don't use the affiliate link because there's no way to put that disclaimer in there unless it's an individual post. I can do that, but I can't direct people to my eBay through my profile.
And for those of you who don't know, the eBay Partner Network is eBay's affiliate program where if you're a seller, you can direct people to eBay, or if you have listings on eBay, directly to your own store or certain listings. And if a person clicks on that link and then purchases, the seller, like in any affiliate network, the partner, that would be you, Jocelyn, gets a commission in return.
One of the things that I love about the eBay Partner Network is that the money that I get for that cancels out a lot of my fees. So that's one of the things that I love about using it, is that it's like, oh, it knocked out my fees this month, you know. And that's one of the things that we look at from a business perspective. We're not really thinking, oh, we're making a ton of money, but it's taking off of our fees.
Now, if they weren't paying attention during this segment, they were listing, or I think you just got their attention.
Yes, yes.
So are there certain things that, as a member of eBay Partner Network, that you would not recommend doing?
I think one of the most important things is, like we had already mentioned, is just make sure that you have that disclaimer in there. Because I know that on YouTube, you can actually get demonetized for not having a disclaimer in there. And that's as far as eBay Partner Network, whether you're using a different affiliate program, but it's really important to have that disclaimer in there. And I don't know how that works with other social media networks, because my main network is YouTube, but it's very important to have that disclaimer. So don't not put the disclaimer in there.
All right. So there's a good don't.
Yes.
And say I'm a seller, I come up to you and I say, hey, I see you're using eBay Partner Network and I want to use it. How do I get started, and what should I do when I'm considering which marketing channels to use? How do you utilize it so that it's effective for you?
Like I said, I always mention it in my videos. I say, you know, there's a link to our eBay down in the description, so go check that out. And then I include that. So that's one way that you can definitely take advantage of the eBay Partner Network, is just directing people towards that link. You can't just put it there and expect that people are going to find it. You want to direct people towards it and get the traffic going there. That's important. And for me, I did not know that the eBay Partner Network existed. I didn't know it existed. Just one day I thought, hey, I wonder if eBay has any affiliate programs or anything. And so I just Googled eBay affiliate program and it popped up. And that's actually how I found it, because I did not know it existed. So I found it by accident. And it was so easy to apply for it and to just fill everything in. And then all I had to do was put a link to my store. Now, what I do is a little bit different than what most people would do. Most people would probably put a direct link. The eBay Partner Network generates the link and they would put that directly into. I actually run it through Bitly, which is a URL shortener, so that I can track the not only the clicks, but also YouTube limits the characters of the links that you can put into the description.
Oh, of course. Yes.
So I have to shorten the link to put it into YouTube.
So you utilize bit.ly to get that short link. Oh, that makes sense. Yeah. Do you use those EPN links in other places besides YouTube? I know you said Instagram is hard because of the way that their format works.
Yes. I do use the links in Facebook, and that's because I am able to put a disclaimer there. But I'm just very careful about disclaimers. I don't want to get into trouble.
Yes,
so.
That seems to be the top line message.
So I don't use it.
I don't blame you. Who wants legal issues, right?
Right. So I don't use it anywhere that I can't put a disclaimer, but anywhere that I can, I'm absolutely going to use it because it's a great tool to have and to use, and it saves you money.
Anything that saves fees. And I think when we talked about the eBay Partner Network earlier on a different episode, we talked about the fact that right now, I think you get your final value feed back if somebody purchases an item from you through eBay Partner Network. That's a lot of fee.
And I think one of the important things to note is that you don't necessarily have to be a seller to use the eBay Partner Network. You could just be another YouTuber and you could be making videos about metal detecting, and you could link the affiliate links for metal detectors through eBay on your videos.
Exactly.
So I think that's fantastic.
If you're not a seller, you still get a commission back. So if somebody goes through that link, regardless if it's your link or if it's just a link to an eBay product or eBay itself, and they purchase something, that partner in the affiliate program receives a commission compensation for that sale.
And that's valuable to me because I have two YouTube channels, and the other one's not about reselling, but I could still use the links over there. So that's great.
This on top of the fact that if you have enough subscribers on YouTube, you actually can monetize your videos.
Yes. Yes, you can.
So yep. You've got a good income stream coming in, I hope.
Yes. Yes.
That's what we want to hear. That's the good news. So Jocelyn, what about the holiday season? Are you getting ready for that? And if so, how?
Yeah. As far as our plans for the holiday season, we've been purchasing a lot of holiday stuff recently, and we're kind of holding off until November 1st. And that, we've got a lot of listings scheduled and ready to go up. And that's when we're just going to hit it hard November 1st and start listing all of our Christmas stuff, because that's usually when we see that uptick right after Halloween. So we're kind of excited for that.
Any last words of advice, Jocelyn?
I think my last words of advice to anyone would be just not to underestimate social media marketing, because I think a lot of people just put stuff up on eBay and expect, oh, it's going to sell. I think, yeah, it will eventually. But if you start leveraging social media, it doesn't have to be YouTube. It can be Instagram. It can be Facebook. You put a picture of your item up and you tag different collector groups and whatnot, and people see it and you get it out there, you'll have a better chance of selling it. That's what I've found anyway.
That's the best advice I've ever heard when it comes to social media. Thank you so much. I want to thank you for taking time out of your selling day to talk to us here on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
If you're okay with it, we'd love to check in with you after the holiday and see how the season went for you.
Oh, absolutely. I would love that.
Okay. So we'll talk to you after the first of the year.
Sounds good.
Jocelyn sells under the user ID Crazy Lamp Lady. We'll put links to everything that we talked about in this segment, including links to stores, links to the sellers, social media channels, and a link back to the episode where it talks in depth about the eBay Partner Network in particular. It's time for You Have Questions, We Have Answers. Lots and lots and lots and lots of answers. And hopefully they're
correct. My favorite part of the podcast. And I think some of our sellers' favorite part of the podcast.
Yeah, for you, it's only because it's the only part of the podcast that you're on for any amount of time.
Exactly. Well, it would get really boring if I talked a lot at the intro.
Oh, no, it wouldn't. You should try it sometimes.
Well, if it was topical and relevant to eBay sellers, then maybe yes. Not just that. I love reading and answering questions.
Well, then, why don't you read the first question, Brian?
Okay. Our first question is from Caleb, who sent an email to podcast@ebay.com. And he writes, "Hello and thanks again for all that you do for sellers. This podcast is such an incredible value to sellers on your platform because it humanizes and makes personal a large corporation, which promotes seller engagement and understanding way beyond what other platforms have."
I could have cut that out, but I decided to leave it in.
I think it should be left in. I think we should put it in a presentation.
Yeah, no, it's in. I'm leaving it in. Okay, let's get to the heart of the question.
"I want to request an important feature to be added to the managed payment system, partial refunds outside of the returns process. This has been an incredibly valuable tool on PayPal, which has allowed us to take care of our customers who have simply messaged us with a concern in a way that doesn't involve transaction defects or seller-buyer score impact as a return may. For example, if we have incorrectly listed an item as the deluxe version, but it was actually the basic, and the buyer messages us about it, we would normally offer a partial refund in exchange, maybe say 30%. Typically, then, the buyer is getting an excellent deal for an item they can still very much use, so it is a win-win, and they are very likely to even leave us positive feedback. Another benefit is that our item not as described ranking in that category is not negatively impacted. If you could pass along my request to the managed payments team, I would be deeply appreciative. Thank you. And that's from Caleb Bogia Curls.
And hello, Caleb, and thanks for the email. You'll be happy to learn that the ability to issue partial refunds outside of the return process is already available through managed payments. Now, we're going to put the link to the specific page that outlines the steps for issuing a partial refund outside of the return process. But in the meantime, here's how. First, you go and locate the order in Seller Hub or in your My eBay Sold page. From the drop-down menu for that item, select Send Refund, choose a reason for the refund, specify a refund amount at the item or order level, and then enter the desired amount and select Send Refund. And you'll get an email confirming that the refund has been initiated, and once complete, you'll get an email confirmation, and the refunded amount will appear in your order details. You can refund up to 100% of the transaction amount. If you're issuing an order-level partial refund, the amount will be split proportionally across each of the items in the order, and you can issue a full or partial refund outside of the return process for items in Seller Hub or My eBay up to 90 days after the original transaction date. So there. And again, we'll put all the links in the transcript so you can find them. I love it when we have a question that somebody suggests a feature and I see it's already in place. And I want to thank our good friend Neeti and the managed payments team who gave me all this information when I asked her.
It is one of those questions that came up frequently as we introduced managed payments. And it was really great earlier this year when the managed payments team delivered this solution.
Yeah. So that's one question.
Our next question came through the podcast at ebay.com email address as well.
Why don't I read this one, Brian?
Okay.
Seller Jay Formoni sent an email, like you said, to our podcast at ebay.com inbox and says, the state of Nevada wants to know how much sales tax I owe them. Although eBay pays the sales tax to the state for me, I can't figure out how to determine what the amount is. Nevada?
I know other people say Nevada.
I'm going to say Nevada. Nevada specifically requires that the amount be reported by me on a quarterly basis. I've asked around and eBay doesn't have an answer. The only solutions I've heard from the community are third-party services which charge a monthly fee. This information should not cost me anything to acquire. Help! And again, it's from Jay Formoni.
Well, thanks, Jay Formoni. You're right, that information shouldn't cost you a cent, and it doesn't. That's some good news. Again, that's two in a row we've had good news for.
Yep.
You can find out how much sales tax eBay collects on your behalf for every state in the union that requires sales tax to be collected, including your home state of Nevada. You can find that information in the download orders feature in Seller Hub.
Yeah, and I do this a lot. I'm using the download orders feature all the time. In fact, it's how I keep my books now. And it's really easy to use. Just go to Seller Hub and then go to the orders page. And then at the top of that page, there's a sorting feature. So you can select the all orders option on the left hand of that page, or you can select a time window that you want to view in orders. For example, I always wait until it's now October. In November, I will go back. I'll sort just for the last month because there's all these options for sorting. Last 90 days, today, yesterday, this week, last week, this month, last month. I remember to go in and do last month, and then I save each one and I give it a name saying this is the 2020 October order report. Once you've selected how much of your past transactions in which window of time you want to use, you look for the link just below that section and to the right. It's called Download Report, and this will download all the data for every transaction that occurred within that selected time window. Now, it's formatted as what's called a CSV file. You probably know this. It's comma-separated value file, and that will open once you've downloaded it in any spreadsheet application.
Once you have the file opened, you'll find a column for eBay collected tax, that's sales tax. If you sort the spreadsheet alphabetically by the state column, you can then highlight all the transactions for Nevada, then add up all the amounts in the eBay collected tax column for Nevada.
Yeah, it's that easy. But A lot of folks may not be too familiar with spreadsheet files, and if you need help with any aspect of reading or sorting or rearranging a spreadsheet order report, you can always click the help link in the spreadsheet application you're using. And oh, by the way, so most people have like Excel on their Windows machine, or if you're using a Mac, there's one called Numbers, which is the spreadsheet application for Mac. But there are also free spreadsheet apps out there. Many people might be familiar with Google Sheets if you have a Google account. Or you can always look for and download a program like LibreOffice, which is free. And they'll let you access any of the downloaded CSV files, and you can read them and save them to your computer, which you should do because they'll come in handy when you need to keep your books. And again, if you've never seen this download report, it has every single possible bit of information you'll need for every transaction, and maybe too much. There'll be some of the columns that you may never use, but I think you're going to be really surprised when you download and read this report. It's going to make your life a lot easier.
And Griff, maybe I should ask this question because I don't sell in volume enough to do this, but my assumption is because it's a CSV file, someone can easily download it. And if they use, say, QuickBooks or some other accounting software, maybe they'll be able to also incorporate some of that information in those tools as well.
A lot of those applications will take a CSV file, upload into that application, and read the data as well. But I'm making the assumption that perhaps our seller who asked the question, Jay Fermini, doesn't have Intuit or QuickBooks. So this is the way to do that.
Yep, definitely. It's nice. We had 2 for 2 this week.
Yes, we did. We had 2 for 2. And I was looking through the feedback data from a survey that we did for people who have listened to the podcast. And there was a question that said, they don't answer the tough questions. They don't answer, you know, they pick and choose. I got to tell you, we don't get enough questions for me to pick and choose unless it's totally inappropriate. We always answer every single question we can get. We can't answer questions that are specific about your account. So a lot of people mistake the podcast and think it's a customer support line. And general questions we can answer. But if you email or call in and it's something like, help, my account was suspended, or, you know, I have my account was restricted, it's very specific things. My listings were ended. I can't talk about those things live on the air, but we'll answer your questions. Just make sure, you know, that they've got the information that's needed, and we'll answer it.
And the nice thing, we have 2 ways that you can actually submit those questions.
Exactly.
And the first one, how about if I'll start. If you have a question that you want answered here on the podcast, give us a call at 888-723-4630.
Yeah, we love having voices on the podcast. That's why we have that voice line, 888-723-4630. But if you're not a call on the phone person, some people are shy, you can always email us at podcast@ebay.com. That's podcast@ebay.com. Remember, it's time for your daily podcast to-do list, or let's call it weekly, because we're not on every day.
It should be weekly, shouldn't it?
Yeah.
Shouldn't it? So weekly to-do list. So check the announcement board for up-to-date seller news like we talked about earlier today with Certified Refurbished.
Yes. Open an eBay Partner Network account now. It's free and it doesn't cost you anything. And oh, did I mention it's free? And you just might make a little dosh on the side to help pay for your seller fees.
And check out the transcript for this and all episodes for follow-up on what you've heard and to see the links we referenced during the episode, including the eBay Partner Network.
Now, on our next episode, we'll introduce the November holiday hustle theme, and it will kick it off with an entire episode dedicated to shipping best practices,
which are critical at this time of year. We'd again like to thank our guests this week, eBay sellers Quivardis and Carla Lawrence of QC Consigns, and eBay seller Crazy Lamp Lady.
The eBay for Business podcast is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.